Welcome to the Homebodies Podcast. Do as Charlie does.
Maybe not Sky. Anyways.
I was telling Sky before we started the podcast that we should have like a case or something that says, anyways.
Oh, yes. Come on, someone make this happen. What is it called? Castify or something? Isn't that a...
In Castify, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that the thing you can customize your own phone cases? We'll just have anyways. It's 4Ys.
Yeah, but we're not sponsored, so... We're not there yet.
I mean, we'll have one listener. You know, we'll get there.
We're putting this into the universe with our minds, vibrations.
Manifested. We need to manifest it so it will happen.
Woohoo! So last episode, we kind of went everywhere. We were really planning on doing one thing, and then it escalated to something completely different. Well, not kind of too different, but it was pretty awesome.
It was in the same realm, I would say. It just took an unexpected turn on our end, because I had planned out, like, I have 5 methods where we can talk about lucid dream, and then it turned into us talking about our nightmares in the house we used to live in, which, you know, I don't mind. I thought that was more interesting.
Yeah, we had our guest. C was in the episode with us, and it was pretty cool hearing for the first time all 3 of us experiences in the house. And if you haven't already listened to the episode, I really recommend. It's really fun. We had we laughed a lot. We were creeped out. We had a lot of goosebumps. It was amazing.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I asked Z about the episode because I told her, hey, it's out now. If you want to like listen to it and see what it sound like, she told me she could only listen through half of it because she got too creeped out.
Oh. Did you listen to it?
Yes, I listened to the whole thing.
Yeah, I also did while I was working. I liked it.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was funny that you kept in like the parts when you went to answer the door and we were just there talking. I thought you were gonna cut that part out. That's what I said even. It's okay, you should cut it out. But you left it in.
I was gonna cut it out, but you know, I feel like I needed that for people to understand the context. So
okay.
Nice. And then I had C calling me a turd, so I'll have a talk with her.
She does it a lot. It's okay. I've gotten used to it.
Oh, it's so fun. But this time we were in a pickle because, you know, 2 episodes in a row we kind of dealt with creepy stories. But I feel like we're just gonna keep on that train.
We're gonna keep it going, guys. Hope you like it, because we are really interested in these creepy, spooky stories.
Ooh. Yes, I mean, I have in a podcast that I listen to a lot. I don't know if I should name it, but I mean, I'm going to name it. It's 2 Girls, 1 Ghost. I love that part, their podcast.
Me too. I still listen to that one too. Charlie's the one that recommended it to me, and I listen to almost all of the episodes.
Yeah. The thing is, with that podcast, I cannot listen to it while I'm at home.
Oh.
So I only listen to it while I'm out, walking outside of my home. Because sometimes, like back in that house, I would listen to an episode and I would just get really creeped out because there was already like weird energy. And I think that would just like stirred it even more. So I was like, I'm not.
Oh, no. But yeah, I actually don't listen to that in my house either, because if you guys know of that podcast, like the host even talks about it, that, oh, people listen to our podcast have experienced more things. And I'm like, hell no, I'm not listening to this in my house.
Yeah, there's, I've also heard where, I don't know, things get disconnected. There's weird noises in the background. So I
jog the memory of me listening to that podcast. There's probably an explanation, but it's really strange. So this was at my old job. I was listening to, I'm not sure if it was the first time in the office, but I was listening to that specific podcast in the office. And it was like 10 minutes in or something. And then in my whole building, all the lights went down.
Oh, I think I remember you. Did you mention that to me?
Yes, I think I mentioned that to you because it was a while ago. It was in the beginning stages of me listening to that podcast. And then the really weird thing is you would assume it's like a power outage or something. A couple seconds later, half of the lights came back on. Like in every other office, the lights came back on. But if the light was on, the computer monitors were not working. But if their light was off, the computer monitors are working. So that was really strange.
Oh, that's weird.
And like, it was like within the first 10 minutes of me opening that podcast, because it was closer to the beginning of the day.
I remember. Uh-oh. I don't remember which office it was, but I think it was in the office that I was listening to it. And then the lights start flickering a little bit.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, you're not going to do this right now. Just leave me alone. And then
you stopped?
Nothing else happened. Yeah, nothing else happened after that. But because I would listen to while I was at work, because where I work, there was so much noise because it was within the – there was a lot of machines in, you know, in the building. So I would listen to it while I did my rounds. And I also had an office, but in that office specifically, I was there. And I was like, that is not going to happen. So leave me alone. It never did happen again, but some weird things that can be categorized as coincidence kind of like make you wonder, was there something or not?
Yeah, right? Because that lights off thing at my office, I remember the partners at the office called the utility company. Because at the time, we actually owned that building. It was just a building for our company. It's not like a big skyscraper. It was just a one-floor building. So that whole place is all everyone. It's us. So we were able to call the utility company. And they were like, yeah, we don't know. So this is from what I heard. That the utility company did not know what was wrong. And so they're like, but we'll get it back up. And I think an hour later, maybe, everything came back up and it was all normal.
Well, that's so weird.
But it is strange.
I wonder if, like, you brought on something in the office. Now it's there, but you're not there, but it, like, you know, was left behind.
I hope not. Because I joked about it with my coworkers. I was like, hey, guess what I was listening to? A paranormal podcast. I probably brought this. And... know if that's a joke anymore.
They'll know. They'll put, this is all Sky's fault.
Good thing we are no longer in that office building. Like, even we moved whole offices. We are selling that building. Or maybe they sold it already. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, good riddance.
Someone else is getting those demons, I guess.
I wonder if, you know, because we are having all these episodes, things will start, like, happening at your house.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Why would you say that?
I'm kidding.
You are not welcomed. Go away. I don't give you permission.
They say, though, that that your words carry power. So usually mm-hmm. if you don't give them either attention, like what she said, or like you rebuke them, then they usually leave you alone.
That's what I heard too.
Because what I always hear is that they feed off of negative energy. Yeah, all those quote unquote bad emotions like fear and anger and depression and all that stuff like makes them like suck up that energy and they become stronger that way. Like usually in every like demonic story or something with like evil spirits, they will make you have like a lot of issues with your mental health so they can like feed off of you.
Yeah. I think I hear similar things as well, and then I don't know how much power this holds, but like for a lot of them, if you don't give them permission, they cannot do anything. Like if you don't invite them, like if you don't invite them like into your house or like in the sense of possession, if you don't invite them into you, they can't like take over. But I don't know how true that is.
Well, the thing is, like, I don't know, with the stories, for example, in the podcast, they mention a lot of, like, stories where people actually welcome, you know, those spirits because they think it's their family, or they think it's their little children, or people who are just wandering spirits. Like, I specifically don't believe that they are, because I think that there's a higher probability that they're more evil spirits than not. So why would you take that chance?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think I understand what you're trying to say, but it's I can't believe people will invite them, even if it's their family, right?
Right.
It's still a little sus that they're like, oh yeah, you can come, because once you invite one thing, it invites everything else.
You have opened up yourself to it.
Yeah, so you're not invited. Leave my party. It's mine. It's my introvert time.
Imagine them like, damn it, I have to leave now.
Darn, she kicked us out. Once again, right before something was about to happen.
But this kind of brings to the episode of today of legends. I wonder if, because people experience this sort of things, that they tag it this, like, mythical beings. For example, in Honduras, where I'm from, we have a lot of creatures that could be in the supernatural category. One of them is what we call La Sucia, which is like a spirit that wanders, you know.
Is there a meaning behind the name, or is that just it?
La Sucia means the dirty.
Okay.
Well, specifically the dirty woman.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about her. So La Sucia, or the dirty woman, she's a mythological character that shows up like in this female form with this beautiful face and body. But when you look at her closely, she actually has the face of a horse. Dun, dun, dun.
Of a horse?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Interesting. If you look at her closely, only closely.
Yeah.
You can only look at her from far away.
So, it is said that she appears in rivers and bodies of water, which kind of relates to other Latin American legends, but we're going to talk about that later. So, the legend of La Sucia is one of the most popular folk tales in Honduras, where I'm from. And it's also well known in other parts of Central America and Mexico. She has other names like La Cegua or La Ciguanaba in other countries. Like how I say, it's very known, so a lot of the stories are vary from place to place, but there are usually two most known ones. I'm going to first talk about the one in Honduras specifically. Okay, so La Sucia was believed, or is believed, that she was a very pretty girl who lived with her parents. She was really good. She will help with the housework. She will clean the, wash all the clothes in the river and stuff like that. So, you know, but when she was 15 years old, a hardworking man from a good family fell in love with her. At the age of 15, that's kind of sus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But her parents accepted his proposal of marriage because they knew that he was a good match for her. And they readily set a date for the marriage. You know, not much of a modern, we date for 3 years and then we get married. None of that. None of that.
The mom is like, someone wants you, you're out.
You're out, please. He has money, good. So on the day of the wedding, while they were both at the altar, the bride and the groom, the priest asked them for their baptismal certificate, which is in Christian traditions, usually you get baptized, at least in Catholic Christianism, when you get baptized, you get a certificate, right? And that was a requirement so you could get married. But she did not have one. She did not get baptized as a child or any time. So the priest, he was not having any of it. So she's like, he's like, I cannot marry you. Even though the parents even asked the priest if he could baptize her on the spot so she could get married. He said, no, that's not how it works.
What? Can people get baptized a little older? Because I know usually it's there when they're babies, but I thought they could. Isn't that okay?
Yeah, well, usually it's fine. But apparently the priest didn't want her to
just be... being an asshole?
No, I think if I'm... I could be wrong because I'm not Catholic.
Okay.
But I think that you have to go through a process to get baptized. And you cannot just do it just because you want to. Oh, okay. I think they have a more strict look at baptism. I might be wrong, but that's what I've seen. You know, you have to take classes. You have to make sure what you're doing and, you know, because it's a pretty big thing.
But don't they just baptize babies? Like, how are babies supposed to take classes?
I don't know.
Imagine a room full of babies learning about the church.
Right? I can just imagine it. But anyways, the priest didn't want her to... He wouldn't do it, so she wasn't able to marry him, and so she was devastated. She got into a deep depression, and she almost went insane. She didn't want to take her wedding dress off because she wanted to get married, but this only caused the guy to, like, ew. He wasn't really interested anymore, and so, like, all hope of marrying this girl was just, like, out the window.
You see, this is why we don't do this anymore. This is why we date for 3 years.
Exactly.
We see the crazy before we commit.
We see the red flags.
Yeah, exactly.
So he moved on. But the girl was left all sad because she really wanted to get married. And, you know, she continued her life. And one day when she was washing the clothes at the river, she heard the news that the guy was going to get married to another girl. And so... this was the last straw. She said, fuck it. She went insane. And people say as if she was possessed by some demon. She ran out screaming horrendously with, like, such pain. And then she stood in front of a cliff and jumped, dying instantly, obviously.
I'm sorry. This just sounds like a crazy ex-girlfriend story. I mean, she shouldn't, not to, like, joke about her jumping off, but, like, it really does just sound like a crazy ex that never got over you story.
Yeah. And so now, since then, they say that her spirit wanders in search of her lover. So because she was always looking for her man, she appears in rivers and streams dressed in white, especially to lure in drunk men, and they say that when she presents herself, she will transform into this bride or this sexy woman. She will make the man fall in love with her. Most of them were drunk, so those fall in love really easily. But whenever they will, like, come near her, they will see her horse face, and they will be drove into insanity.
What? Where did the horse face come from?
I don't know.
it just turned into a horse. Like, because in the beginning when it said she's mostly seeing near waters and, like, stuff, I was like, wouldn't it make sense if she has a fish face, not a horse face?
There's another, like, origin of this that kind of explains this a little bit more. But
okay.
Usually her face is covered, so you don't see the horse face, you know.
The horseness of the face.
The horseness. So that was, like, the known in Honduras, you know, okay, most spoken of. But there's the origin of the Ziwewet, or what the Ziguanaba, which are two words used in El Salvador.
She's like, no, that was unacceptable.
Unacceptable. called Siwewet, or beautiful woman. So in the mythology, she apparently had an affair with the son of the god Talok, and she became pregnant. Legend says that she was a really bad mother because she was leaving her son alone to meet with her lovers. And so when Talok, the god, found out what was happening, Siwewet, the girl, was cursed with the name Siwanaba, which means ugly woman. She will be beautiful at first sight, but when men approach her, she will turn around and become a horrible being with a scary, ugly face.
Okay, this also sounds like a crazy ex story. It's like, you cheat on me, I curse you.
Well, there's a bit of more explanation. So more of the backstory of this, you know, god and woman relationship. So the god condemned her to wander the countryside with the purpose of appearing to the man that travels alone at night. The native people of the country say that the ghost appears at night in the rivers of the Salvador, usually washing clothes and always looking for his son called Sipitio. So Sipitio was the one that she will leave alone all the time. But Sipitio was granted eternal youth by his dad, so he could torture Siwanaba because, you know, your child will be beautiful and you will never be, or something like that. It's kind of weird. According to the legend, all the people who spend the nights in the forest of El Salvador are most likely to find her. However, she follows the men that are called Don Juanes, which are the fuckboys.
Oh.
Those who boast about their sexual adventures. So fuckboys, beware.
Fuckboys, beware.
So to these guys, the Siwanaba appears to them in any sort of water, body of water, late at night, or in the banks of rivers. The Siwanaba appears. So she washes herself with gold water.
Fancy.
And she combs her beautiful black hair as her beautiful body is revealed through her transparent nightgown. Usually they say that whoever sees her, they will be unraveled by her beauty, and they will automatically, as if like against their will, they will like go close to her. So when she shows her face, some people say that she has a face as pale as a dead person, with her eyes out of her sockets, red as blood. But it's like when they see her, at first she is a perfect woman, but then slowly turns into like this grotesque gremlin or something.
Oh.
Her smooth skin begins to like wrinkle and turn green. Her nails grow
into hooves.
She starts laughing, and that causes men to paralyze.
I'm sure that's how she laughed, to paralyze the man.
But let's say you're a Don Juan, you know, boasting about all the women that you fucked over. If you ever see her, there are some things that you can do to protect yourself.
Oh, we are protecting the fuckboys now.
Yeah, apparently. So some people say that she will like take your soul. So in order to, you know, not lose it, or your not lose your life in general, the man must bite a cross that he's wearing or a medal and pray to God. Another way to get rid of the negative influence of the Siwanaba is to make a supreme effort and get approach as much as possible to her, then lie on the ground with looking at the sky.
I'm ready.
And you have to grab her hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's some kinky shit, man.
If you grab her hair, she'll get startled and then run away.
I guess she doesn't like that.
Yeah, she does not like that. So when she gets, if you pull her hair, she'll get scared. But the most effective way of getting rid of her is to shout to her, "No te vas a ir, María Pata de Gallina," 3 times. You have to say that.
What does that mean?
It means you're not going anywhere, Crabgrass Mary.
Wait, what? You're not going anywhere,
Crabgrass Mary. But crabgrass, I don't know where it comes from, because you're not going anywhere, Mary with the chicken legs.
Oh.
That's what you have to scream 3 times.
That's so
Pata
mean.
De gallina.
She just gets self-conscious and run away.
Yes, she'll be scared and will throw herself into the river.
She's like, I'm being bullied again. My trauma's coming back.
What you're not supposed to do is give her the back, your back, to face her. Because if she touches you, you'll go insane.
Okay.
There's some other versions that are similar to the Ciguanaba or La Sucia, which is like the Llorona, which is also about a woman that could not be, that was like, did dirty by a man.
Mm.
The Llorona, though, in her story, she drowns her children.
God.
And she comes back to search for them. But she will also lure in drunk men and those who are unfaithful, like these two ladies. These two ladies. And then she will, like, drown them or something like that. Now, my dad once told me that he met La Sucia in the river.
I see.
Yeah, he told me that he was walking by the river going home. Because there's a lot of rivers in Honduras, especially my hometown. He was going by the river. He was walking. And then he sees a woman with her long black hair on her face. And he could hear her, like, her calling to him, like, come, or something like that. He felt attracted to her. He said she was beautiful. Although he couldn't see her face, he knew that she was beautiful. She had a white dress. But something made him snap. And so he had to walk.
We're not doing okay.
No, I'm not doing okay. He had to walk backwards. And when he was, so he was facing her, but he had to walk, And then when he was far and away enough, he ran on to the side so he could avoid her. And he didn't go crazy.
Yeah, well, it's late at night?
Late at night by the river.
Okay.
And my neighbor, that she, back in Indy, she's from Guatemala, and she said that she also met a version of La Sucia, but she said that she had the face of a horse and the feet of a horse, and she was floating on the river. And she said that she turned around and she apparently went insane for a couple days, and that a witch had to come to her house to drive the spirit out of her.
Interesting, because I thought this would, based on like the stories and the legends, I thought this would only affect men mostly, but I guess it affects anyone.
Yeah, some legends, in some versions actually, they say it's anybody could meet her, but her main target were either men or children who went by the river.
I was just thinking, this was like way off tangent. What your dad saw, I was like, it's probably some poor lady that fell into the river and asking for help, seeing a man walk backwards and run away from her.
Well, yeah, he said that she just stood there.
I was like, imagine if it's a lady asking for help.
And then she's like, oh. But I mean, this was, I remember when I was a kid, there would be like the folklore scary stories in the radio. There was a show in the radio there was a man that just like would read scary stories, and this was one of them. And this would always freak me out. And I will never go to a river at night because of that. There's a lot of lore and a lot of like scary legends around rivers or bodies of water, so they will always tell you not to go by the river at night.
Imagine if just like a like safety precaution made by someone just to scare everyone so there's less drownings in the waters.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of these stories kind of go so a lot of the legends or like folklore things are cautionary tales, right? So it will be like, don't cheat on your wife. Don't go on the river at night. Make sure children don't play near bodies of water, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like mine, it's really just a warning caution thing rather than more actually happening. Because I do feel like it sounds a little impossible. But you know, we'll have the people decide.
All right.
Okay, so there is like two versions of the story. And it's known to have happened in northeast China, which is where I'm from. So the second biggest city in northeast China is Harbin. And this story happened around 1995 to 1996. Sometime around there. So the first version is a little shorter. It's just a lady that lives in that city. She went out for grocery shopping. She bought things. And then on her way home, she just died.
Oh.
Does not say why. She just died.
This poor lady.
And coincidentally, a cat walked right past her as she died. And because of that, the lady sat up and came back to life. But the cat passed away instead. So there is in Chinese beliefs that you can quote-unquote borrow souls from people, especially animals. That if you die and another living thing passes you, you can transfer your soul to them. Or like you can take their living soul and you can come back to life. So because of that, because she came back to life, her half of her face became a cat, yet the other half did not change. So this is the first version of the story. That's it. I feel like what the lady did later is the same in both versions. So this is the second version of the story. So this lady lives in the second largest city, Harbin, but in a smaller, like in the suburbs of that place. And this family has a really typical life. There's not much going on except the son and the daughter-in-law does not treat this old lady very well. But they thought, you know, it's just how things are. It's life. There's problems. So they didn't really think too much into it. Until one day, because of another minor thing, the old lady and the son and the daughter-in-law, they got into a fight. And the lady was so mad that she committed suicide that night. She hanged herself. After that, after she was discovered, because it was at night, they decided to wait to the next day in the morning to bury her. It said that how the lady died, it was very frightening. Because she hanged herself, her eyes came out of her socket, her eyes were open, her tongue is out of her mouth, her face is black, and she had the face of hatred on her when she died. A lot of people were really afraid and did not want to help, like, take her down from where she hanged herself. Once the son heard about this, he came running and started crying and just were really sad that the mom passed away. And with the son there, people are finally more willing to help and like take this lady down. But in the village, it's said that the old lady died with hatred in her heart. So there is going to be something that happens. So you have to have the person that's closest to you stay with the body for at least one extra night. They have to just stay there with it before we can bury it. So that night, the sun changed. So when we bury someone, we have a specific outfit we change into. So the sun changed into that specific clothing. And the daughter-in-law was also really sad. So she went back to her mom. So she was not there. The son felt like she treated her mom not right. So he decided to stay there with the mom overnight so she can get the hatred out of her heart. But, you know, Northeast China is very cold in the winter. And this happened in the winter. And the nights are very long. It was the old lady's son and the neighbor that was sitting together. And they were talking to keep each other company. But in the middle of the night, because it got so cold, they both fell asleep. And you're really not supposed to do it because that you're there to keep your mom's company. And so it's known that the old lady had a cat. The cat walked past the lady while they were asleep. While the son and the neighbor, they were both asleep. After the cat walked by, the lady sat right up. And her face, once again, turned half cat and half human. Because of her sitting up, both the neighbor and the son got really freaked out. Once the lady got up, she scratched the neighbor to death. And while she was doing that, the son ran away and was crying to all of the neighbors, like yelling through the neighborhood, "Oh, my mom came back to life! My mom came back to life!" It's really weird because it said that there's a lot of houses that owns dogs in that neighborhood. And usually if they hear a loud noise like that, they will start barking as a warning. But that night, no dog barked. They were all like whining. And so Aaron was afraid. Once the sun came up, the sun got a bunch of people together because they were all afraid to just check to see what happened. Once they got back, they found the neighbor's stomach was like clawed open. And the intestines were everywhere, and the old woman was nowhere to be seen. And then later, as time goes on, this little village noticed it just felt really dark. And there's constantly animals missing and kids missing. And so all the adults are telling their children, "Hey, don't go anywhere, especially not alone, and especially not at night." Because it said this old lady had what only moves at night, was freakishly strong, and likes to eat children's flesh and drink their blood, but only the kids. But this story was really popular. It got some like news coverage as well, even. It got news coverage. So in China, we have like a government, I think it's government owned like news channel. That's like the main channel Aaron watches.
Yeah.
And that, even that channel was like, "Oh, we need to investigate."
What year was this in though, that this happened?
1995.
Yeah. Very recently then.
Yeah, not that long ago. Maybe I should ask my mom if she's heard of this, because I feel like she would have. Because this is where we were from. But yeah. But supposedly there's another reason that people think why like this story became so big so fast. Because 1995, you know, there's no Google. You can just post this on Facebook and people just reposting it. So it's just by word of mouth, really, by phone calls, people telling their neighbors and stuff. So another reason that people think this cat-faced lady came about was because there's this group of, what are they called? Kid snatchers. What are they called? Like traffickers, human traffickers, and like organ harvesters that was roaming around. They specifically targeted children and they will sell their organs. But later the government came out saying that was not right. But you know, you can't always trust what the government says. So there was people that went and asked people around if they've heard it. Everyone's heard it. Like that the rumors or the legend went so far that a lot of schools had big meetings where the principal will tell the students to not go out alone. Everyone in the school must have a red string attached to their arm, because it's in Chinese legend, red strings can help you fight off evil. Mm. And then there was more police that would roam around as well, and that will go to all the schools to saying, "Hey, this is just a legend. There's no confirming anything about this lady." But yeah, a lot of kids were afraid to go to school because they were afraid that they were gonna get eaten on the way to school.
Poor kids.
maybe it's a kid that made it up because they didn't want to go to school.
Also, the thing with the red string, mm-hmm. to be honest, in a lot of Hispanic cultures, you put a red string on the wrist of babies so they won't absorb the bad eye from people or like bad energy.
The evil eye?
The evil eye, yeah.
That's interesting how a lot of like this are pretty similar, right?
Yeah. And after hearing this, I can definitely agree that this is more of a cautionary tale.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Especially back then, people are a lot more innocent. They don't have as much information, so the only thing that they can do is believe what you say, because they don't have anywhere to like look it up unless, you know, they go to the library or something. That's so scary. Like, imagine living in that time and you don't know what's real, what's not.
Yeah. So there is actually a story of someone that got interviewed, which I don't know how true this story is either. But here's the story. Okay. So this was like after the person that posted this story, he was born in 1984. So around like 1995-ish, he was in elementary school. So it was after school, he was on his way home. And at that time, obviously, a lot of people were more cautious. They have their doors locked more. But back then, it was just like, you just close your door and people were nicer back then.
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but so he lived in like a more poor neighborhood where they didn't really have a private bathroom. So they had a communal bathroom in the hallway in the level where they lived. So this kid came out of the house to go use the bathroom and he saw a head. But the thing is, apparently there's just a creep in the neighborhood that likes to peek on people.
Oh.
And so that's what the kid thought it was. It was just that weird dude that likes to creep on people that like peeks through doors. And the hallway was so dark that he couldn't see. So he didn't think too much of it. So he ran to the light and flipped it on. And then he noticed it's not the guy that creeps. It's an old lady. The old lady had really messy hair and her face is really wrinkled. All her facials, her face was really scrunched together and she was biting on a piece of bread. The kid got really scared and yelled for his mom. And because of that, the old lady ran away. The mom and the dad came out, but they were nowhere to find. The old lady was nowhere to be found. And so later people thought, oh, it's just an old lady. She might be homeless. She might just want some food or something. She didn't actually do anything. So, you know, nothing really happened. It's not a big deal. But later, the story got like through word of mouth, became crazier and crazier. And then at that time, it was that creeper dude that likes to peek. Mm-hmm. He got sick and he was hospitalized for a while. So people were saying it was because one day the creeper wanted to go like steal something. And so he was creeping around in the hallway, looking through like people's door cracks. But something was different that day. When he looked back, he saw a face. And it was the face of the old lady. And because of that, he got like freaked out and got really sick. And that's why he was hospitalized.
It's so scary to think that, you know, when she woke up, that half her face was capped and then half her face was like bulging eyes out and skin green from the decay. And yeah. As a kid, I will be traumatized and I will not go out at night.
Right? Yeah.
That's even scarier than just a lady in the river.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I guess your lady in the river also kills people, right? But this one, because she turned half cat, she would claw people to death and, like, eat their flesh.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
More graphic.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I feel like a lot of, it's a little different, though, but usually the legends of women in myths are either old ladies or very beautiful ladies that turn really ugly.
Yeah, right? I noticed that too. It's people just don't like beautiful women or old ladies.
Yeah. I was reading an article that said that a lot of the stories were made by men so that you wouldn't trust women as easily. Because in the back of your mind, there's always going to be a negative connotation with the word woman. Because you know how
that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, they say women are the spawn of Satan. Like, you've heard mm-hmm. that phrase. So it's kind of like that.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know if this is how it's phrased, but like really beautiful women are always trouble, or like they're all like the root of evil or something like that.
Yeah. And old women are witches or something.
You know? Mm-hmm.
But there's never like a man witch or something. Yeah. There's no man in the river.
But also, like, I feel like a man in the river would be less likely to, what's the word, like, lure people in, because they're like, oh, <It's>
man. imagine a dude in like a white shirt trying to entice women. They're like
even if he had abs, because I feel like, oh, maybe these legends are all women because men are so easily fooled by beauty,
right?
Yeah, because let's say if it's the other way around, it's a really handsome dude with his six pack, with his white shirt from the river, with his long, luscious hair. And he's like, come. The woman would just be like, the fuck? You're out of your mind. This is the middle of the night. I'm not coming to you.
Right.
Get out my pepper spray and
I think it's, well, how can that? Because, I mean, men are scarier as they are. You don't need a myth or a legend to know that they're scary.
That's also true.
And I hate how, I mean, not so much in your story, but like in ours, in the ones I've heard, men are always the victims. You know, they lure women. I mean, they lure men.
Yeah.
You know? There's not a lot of them that are like, you know, targeted to scare women away. It's more like, yeah, men beware.
Yeah, but the thing really is, right, the men that get lured, they wanted something. They were in, like, they were too surface level, because all they see is a pretty girl. They're like, okay, I'll do whatever you want for you.
Yeah, I guess society knows that, so they're like, you need to watch out, like. But that's so enabling. I hate that. Just like, you know, eyes to yourself. Just keep walking straight, you know. Yeah, well, at least this episode wasn't as scary as last time, I have to say.
Yeah, I feel like we made it a little funnier than what they're supposed to be.
I know there are different myths and legends from country to country. Maybe we'll... Excuse me. Maybe we'll come back to this topic of like urban legends and to expand more, because there's so many urban legends even in just one country. Like there's one like the chupalenguas or morde lenguas. I forgot what it's called, but it's like come lenguas. That's the word. Come lenguas, which is like a creature that eats the tongues of animals, which is very similar to the chupacabra, who eats cattle and like sucks their blood. I wonder if in China they have a similar story of a animalistic being that eats cattle or eats just animals.
I think so. I cannot tell you what they're called off the top of my head right now. But I believe there are other... but I believe there are like other creatures out there, you know, that's also animalistic, that eats other animals. Yeah.
I wonder if you guys have stories like that that you want to share with us. Maybe you have a version of this story that you heard when you were a little kid, so you won't go outside, you know, at night. Let us know.
Oh, yeah. We would love to hear it. You know what else I really want to talk about, like as an episode one day? So I don't know if you have heard of in Beijing, the Forbidden City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where, if you don't know, like for people who didn't know, that's where the emperors and the emperor and empress, whatever, the king and queen in other terms, that's where they lived. And because of how much power the emperor had, there was a lot of, like, unfortunate death that people, they just want, if they just want to settle something, it's often they just find someone, he did it, and he was beheaded. And then in, like, the emperor's side as well, because once you get married to the emperor, you cannot leave the Forbidden City. Like, you cannot go visit your family. Your family have to come in to visit you. Unless the emperor, like, is going traveling somewhere and he specifically said, you can come with me, you cannot leave the Forbidden City. So there was a lot of death there as well, because there was a lot of jealousy of, oh, you're going to have a son, or you're going to have a kid. We don't know if it's going to be a son or a daughter. If it is a son, then that kid is going to fight with my kid for the next emperor spot. So there's a lot of kid that died as well. So I really want to do research into that and see what I can discover, like, ghost story-wise in that realm. I think that there should be a lot of things there.
Yeah, for sure. I also heard of the Forbidden City, but not in any detail whatsoever. I just know that it exists. So I'm also curious to see what that means, or, you know, things that happened that I recorded. Let's see in the future what episode we can do. We're reserving some ideas because we want to have guests, but things are scheduling is a little bit tricky, but it's definitely going to be in our list of episodes to do. You okay?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. My mic is picking up random things. I'm not doing anything, and there's a tiny wave.
Yeah, because I can hear a thump, thump from your arm. That's thump, thump.
But, like, I mean, just now.
Yeah, I heard it. A thump.
It was... never mind.
Well, let's believe it was a thump and not something else. Because we were talking about how it can, like, come in energy.
No, you're not welcome. Leave.
I mean, it's cool to learn about, you know, the things that people believe in, especially back in the day, to keep their minds preoccupied.
That's true. They were probably just bored, like, hey, how do you stir the pot? Oh, I know, let's make a horror story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 1995, what else is there to do? There's no Facebook, there's no Twitter, there's no Instagram, there's no TikTok. I can't waste my brain cells on TikTok in 1995.
Right, what did they do?
Now we sound so like... Gen Z and millennial. What did the old people do?
Well, the thing is, like, we were born during that time, so we weren't there. I know my aunt was 18 during that time.
Yeah, I wonder what they did too. Like, did they just read a lot? Talked a lot? I don't even know.
I think they played outside more.
They're more outdoorsy, adventurous people.
I guess so. I mean, for school, you had to go to a library and read books.
That's true.
Who does that anymore? I guess people, but willingly not.
Not us, though. Like, I'm sure your parents say the same thing. Oh, when I was a kid, I have to travel 800 miles to go to school through all the mountains in the snow. You have it so easy, you don't even know. I was like, okay, mom. I'm sure it was hard, but I think that's a little bit of exaggeration, no?
I mean, I walked when I was going to school sometimes, but I didn't walk 800 miles.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in China, when I went to my school, I had to, it was pretty far away, actually. We lived a little outside our downtown. Mm-hmm. So my travel time in the morning with all the traffic and people was probably closer to 30, 40 minutes.
Oh.
And I'll do that myself. I mean, most of that time, like 20 minutes, were probably on the bus.
Okay.
Yeah, I will probably walk 10 to 15 minutes only from bus station to bus station, but still.
Talking about walking to school. So when I was a little kid, my mom was already in the United States. So the only way for me to go to school without walking was for her to, like, pay a person that carries other kids to school back and forth. But I remember in sixth grade, I had to walk to school. It wasn't that long of a walk. Maximum 15 minutes, I will say. But I had this fear of going by this, like, either was a construction site or something of that sort. Because, like, I would be, at that time, maybe 11 to 12 years old. And then the guys in that construction work site would, like, catcall me.
A 12-year-old?
Yes.
Oh, God.
And since then, I feel really uncomfortable going through zones that have construction workers by them.
Oh, that's traumatizing.
Yeah, because, like, I remember, like, they will stop what they're doing and then just stare. Or sometimes they will be like, hey, or something. I don't remember what they said, but I knew that I remember that they will call me something. And, like, I'm walking to school, right, in this, you know, it was like a neighborhood, but usually there weren't a lot of, I mean, there weren't anybody in the streets. It would mm-hmm. be like empty, and there's just this work site. So I knew, like, if they ever, you know, try to do something, nobody will be there to help me.
Oh, God.
So I remember, I will walk, and then when I will be near that place, I will make sure I was on the other side of the street. And walk faster and make sure that nobody was following me.
Isn't that crazy that girls have to learn that at such a young age?
Yeah.
Like, to watch out for creepy men?
Yeah.
It's like an instinctual thing. Because I don't think probably your mom wasn't like, oh, you should walk on the other side when you walk past us. It's like, you know what they're doing and you can feel their intention. And so you purposely try to avoid all of that. It's so crazy.
And I mean, it's not that I was, and I hate when they, like, be like, oh, you should, maybe they're catcalling you because of what you're wearing. Like, bitch, my skirt was, like beyond my knee. I had white socks, really long ones. I had, like, a uniform, you know, like a white shirt buttoned down. You can't tell me that I look sexy in any way, shape, or form. I was a blob of a school uniform.
But then also you were 12.
I was 12. Exactly.
Yeah. What? That doesn't make any sense. I hate when people do that too. Because, like, it's never what the girls are wearing. It's what the guys are freaking thinking about. It does not matter what they're wearing. They could be wearing, I don't want to say bed sheets because that's for some reason. They could, I don't know, it does not matter what they're wearing. They could look like a hobo and guys will still do things like that because of what they're thinking in their mind.
Yeah, to be honest, another instance where I was really scared. I lived by where I lived, there was a hill that you go up and then you go up again, right? And I lived at the bottom section. Or no, I lived in the middle, but then I was coming from down to up. I think I went to like a little market to buy something. Because there's this place, it's called Pulperias, is where houses have like grocery things that you can buy in by unit. So I remembered that it was at night. So I didn't like being outside at night. And I had on black pants and this cute red shirt that it was cut off here by the shoulders. It didn't have, and it was like tied around my neck. So it's a normal shirt with no shoulder things. My shoulders were showing, and then there's a string tied on my neck. That was the outfit. Okay. I was running up the hill because I didn't want to be outside for long when suddenly this man in a bicycle just like stops right next to me, and I get startled and I looked at him and he's like, you know, if you run like that, you look like a prostitute.
What the fuck?
I was like 9 years old.
Oh my God. Did this man just call a 9 year old a prostitute?
Yes. I never wore that shirt ever again.
Oh my God. What is wrong with man?
That was like one of them traumatic things that ever happened to me. I don't know if anything like that has happened to you. Do you have an experience maybe?
Like that? Like when I was a kid? No, not really. Because, you know, we are just the one kid policy thing. My mom usually is really protective over mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. So not when I was a kid. No, not really. But, you know, as a adult walking downtown anywhere, mm-hmm. does not matter what we look like. The chances of getting catcalled, it's pretty high.
I remember.
I know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, go first. Oh my God. This is what happens when you have two really polite people that's afraid of cutting each other off.
Well, a pet peeve of mine is either like cutting someone off or people cutting me off. So I try not to do that.
Okay, I guess I'll go then. Then my question was always like, what do they think the woman will do, like when the man catcalling? Like I never got that part. What are they expecting the outcome to be besides being ignored?
I don't know. I don't know if they think they'll be like. The girl will be like, oh, thank you. Oh, you're also really pretty. Or, oh, you're so handsome too. Like, no, bitch, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I don't, I sometimes I just don't know how men's brain work. Mm-hmm. And I hate how they are like, oh, but not all men. Like, bitch, I know not all men. But because it's a survival thing, you have to think that everybody's like that in order to not be murdered or assaulted. The analogy that I've heard is, imagine you have a box of donuts and I tell you that one of them is poisonous. Would you still eat a donut from that box knowing that one of them might be poisonous? Of course not, you dimwit. You're not. Because what are the chances that you're going to die from it? Kind of high if there's only like four of them, right?
Yeah.
So that's just the analogy that I like, it makes sense to me. Like you'll have to just not eat any of them because you don't know.
Yeah, that's why I have to avoid all of them just in case.
Yeah, just in case. I remember, I'm from 5 to 10, around that age, I remember having this dream, and I'll never forget this dream. In that same place that I mentioned to you that I was stopped by a man in a bicycle, I remember I had a dream that I was going up the hill. I was running up the hill, Because in that area, when you go down the hill and it becomes like leveled, there's a little section where guys will play football, like soccer for some of the people.
Yeah.
And so a lot of men and boys would gather there. And I will always hate going through there as well because they will also catcall anybody. And so I had a nightmare where I was running up the that hill. And when I looked behind me, I saw a group of men walking upwards. And they were taunting me, saying a bunch of obscenities that they will do if they catch me. Like, oh, I'll catch you, you know. And the thing is, the worst part is that I couldn't run as fast as I could. Like, I couldn't run. It was like running in slow motion. And I could just see them walking normally and just laughing and taunting me. I don't know if I've ever been assaulted. I have no clue. I don't have any recollection. But I feel like I somehow was traumatized by men.
I think it's just because that, you know, as a kid, being all these things being told to you, you amplify it as a kid. And so it became something in your dreams. I really hope that's the case.
Yeah, I really hope so too. There was another instance.
Oh, God.
This happened in real... This was not a dream. This happened in real life. To be honest, I think I've only told one person this.
Okay. When now I was, you're going to talk to more people.
Yeah, well, they'll just know. I don't care anymore. But when I was in third grade, okay... how old usually when you're in third grade? I don't remember, but you're pretty, like, you're like a little kid.
8, 9 maybe?
Yeah, probably around that age.
Mm-hmm.
I usually when, like how I told you, like my mom will hire someone to come pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, that week was like exams week. So usually you take your exam and then you leave early.
Okay.
But I forgot to tell my the person that drives that. So they were going to come, instead of coming at 10 when we leave, they will come in at 3. And so I was either going to wait or I was going to leave. So I just, so a friend of mine, some kid, they're like, oh, I bet you can't call a taxi and go home. And I was like, I bet I could. So I, my mom will always send me like a little allowance. So I had some allowance. And so I went to the street like a big girl. And then I like, stopped the taxi.
The taxi. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I sat on the front seat, you know, and then the taxi driver touches my leg.
Oh my God.
And the thing is, like, I, when I was in third grade, our uniform was like a short, you know, that was like mid leg and then like a t-shirt. That was my, and so he touched my leg and he's like, oh, your leg is pretty hairy.
That's so rude.
But I've always been a hairy kid since I was born. I was like burned with fur around my entire body. So he's like, but he was touching it. He put his hand on my leg.
Oh my God.
And he's like, you're
what the fuck?
Yeah. And you know, I didn't know what was happening, but I kind of felt uncomfortable. And I was like, yeah, it's because my daddy's also really hairy in his legs. That's what I told him. So he's like, oh, okay, I see. And so he removed his hand and he kept driving and we went home. And I got out and I went home. And then later at 3 or at that time, the driver that my mom hired came to our house because he couldn't find me at the school. And so my aunt comes out because I was living with my aunt and she's like, how did you get here then? And so I lied and I said, Oh, it's because our teacher brought me or something. I lied because I didn't want to get in trouble. But yeah, that was also a very risky situation I was in. Like the most riskiest situation ever.
Oh my God. I'm realizing Honduran men are not good people.
Yeah. Why do you think I vowed not to ever like marry a Honduran man?
Because I honestly, now thinking back, I don't think catcalling, like, let's say during the day especially, is as normal in China as in anywhere else. You know, at night when people get drunk, that's, people become stupid and say stupid things. But like I said, during the daytime, if I'm walking home from school, I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah, I was somehow protected by God, by the universe, to make this man not go further.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, so I'm grateful that I never had to experience something like that. But
that's so traumatizing. Yeah. Maybe that's what triggered your dream too.
Yeah, maybe a combination of things.
Yeah. That was the last straw.
I guess so. I remember as a kid, I didn't like having my skin exposed. I didn't like swimsuits. Always with a t-shirt and shorts as I would go to like the pool or something. I would always avoid places where there's men around. I didn't like it. So.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned swimming pool because me and Z were talking about this just today. Because our swimming pool in our like community opens soon. And we were saying how we are so thankful that the community we live in is mostly old people or soccer moms and their kids. So like they're like little kids that, I don't know, probably 4 years old. And no like creepy man just sitting at the pool watching people. We were so glad. Because we can literally wake up, put on our swimsuits, and just go swim. And does not care for anything. Oh, God. But this episode took another turn. What am I gonna name it?
That's a really good question. Usually Sky is the one that comes up with the titles. But this one, at least last time, it kind of went with the theme.
But. Yeah, it stayed on track. But this time, you know, I'll come up with something creative. Let's see what I come up with.
I mean, if it's true that once you die, you become something or a spirit or something or an entity, I'll make sure that I'm the one that, like, make sure that awful men get what they deserve.
Yeah, right. Or I guess, let's say if I don't have that much power, at least I want to try to warn the woman or like protect the woman, because there's way too many women out there that suffer through things that is really just not necessary.
Yeah, I mean, we get it. Like, women can also be like a perpetrator, uh-huh, and things like that. We're not negating any of that.
Yeah, it just, I mean, obviously that could happen. Anything could happen. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think what I'm saying is statistically, that's less likely. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're not dismissing it or anything. We're just, I think what we're trying to say is, you know, if we become the ghost of the future, we will just try to protect any victims of any harm that we think might be coming to them.
Yeah, same. If they exist.
I think it would be cool to become a ghost, honestly.
I will want, though, to have enough power, mm-hmm, to make sure I can turn on the TV, or I can turn on the cell phone and make sure I can watch TikTok, or I can read my webtoons.
Oh my, imagine someone sleeping and their phone they're just reading webtoons. They're like, the fuck is this?
And they'll be like really freaked out and they'll be hugging their pillow at night, seeing as I'm reading like the fantasies of an empress or something.
You leave a note, I'm sorry, I couldn't find another phone.
Or I'm sorry, I just spent $100 to make sure I can read the next episode.
Oh my god.
Because a lot of them are paid. So, you know, a girl needs to do what a girl has to do.
Yeah, go find a rich person so they wouldn't care.
Yeah, right. But anyways, thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Homebodies podcast. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at the Homebodies podcast, or send us an email with your story. We'll love to hear it. We'll see what the future holds. You guys be safe. Either woman, child, or man, be safe. And
yeah. Don't get lured by the water demons or the cat ladies or, I don't know, the catcalling men.
Yes, yeah. And one thing that we learned is that sometimes reality is scarier than myth. So be safe, guys. And well, this has been the Homebodies podcast. My name is Charlie.
And I'm Sky.
And we'll hope to see you in the next episode.
The next episode. Oh.